But this union of free markets and political freedoms has, for many across the world, distorted the idea of democracy, from liberals, progressives, and socialists, to even the Catholic Church, which has offered its own critique. There is a growing criticism of the industrial democracies as fueling economic disparities that make democracy itself, free government, representative government, harder to achieve in this century. What is democracy in this century? An idea? A real system of government? Or is it just a cynical brand used by Kim Jong-un, leader of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea? Did you know that's the official name, North Korea's official name? Laughable official name? Well, author and activist David Graeber joins us. His new book is The Democracy Project, A History, A Crisis, A Movement. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
And I gather you would claim that it's not just North Korea that laughably uses democracy in its invocation of the kind of government that it champions, yes?
Well, the funny thing about America is that most Americans don't know. Nowhere in the Constitution or in the even in the Declaration of Independence does it say anything about America being a democracy. Most of the Founding Fathers were actually completely against democracy.
And as a idea, democracy was too radical for the framers of the U.S. Constitution, yet we evoke it constantly today. Why?
It's a really interesting story. If you read the opening remarks of the Constitutional Convention, they're very explicit. They say, well, you know, we've got this problem. There's far too much democracy in this country. We need to create a federal government to contain it. Yet the Republican system of government, that's what they like to call it, a republic, not a democracy, modeled more on Rome than ancient Greece, in the 1830s, got relabeled democracy. What happened was Andrew Jackson ran calling himself a Democrat, which was at that time a really radical phrase. It was almost like calling yourself an anarchist. And he won.
And funny coming from the guy who suspended habeas corpus, right?
Indeed,
Andrew Jackson.
Yes.
Yeah.
All of these, well, they were politicians. They sort of, they knew marketing. They knew it would appeal. And the question I'm asking is, well, why did it appeal? If this was a bad word that people used to insult people, you Democrat, why is it people liked it anyway? So for me, I think democracy is an aspiration. It's something that Americans, that people around the world wish would exist, some notion that people should really manage their own affairs.
But is it?
But
is,
it's never been completely realized, and in a lot of ways, we're taught to think it can't be.
Is it aspirational in terms of a movement, or is it aspirational more in the sense that, you know, the models in vogue are aspirational? We wish we could look like them, but we're quite entertained to just to turn the pages.
Well, a lot of the models were created explicitly to squelch democracy and then got relabeled democracy. So there's always that tension there. But there is some notion that democracy should mean people should be able to manage their own affairs. It's related to freedom. People aren't quite sure how. I always say it this way. I mean, on the one hand, we're always taught that democracy is supposed to mean electing politicians to run a government. But most Americans hate politicians and are kind of sketchy about even the idea of government. So why is it they all love democracy?
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the circumstances that motivate this book, The Democracy Project, A History, A Crisis, A Movement. You claim to have discovered something of a 21st century model of democracy in your experience with the Occupy Wall Street movement. How did that awareness, belief come to you?
Well, it's been something that's been going on for some time. I really discovered it in the global justice movement. After Seattle, I got involved in that. And I was just startled that they had these spokes councils where thousands of people would get together and we'd go through this long deliberative process where we'd come to decisions without any leadership structure. And I'd never imagined such a thing was possible. I think most Americans couldn't imagine it was possible. I always say you can't rationally prove to someone that direct democracy is possible. That you can only show them. But once you see it, it just completely changes your perspectives, your horizons about what human life could actually be like.
But is this a sense of solidarity with the people who hung out in Zuccotti Park, or is this a real political program that could compete with the political structures we have in the United States or form some nation of their own on an island somewhere?
Well, it's a base. I mean, most countries have very complex layers of different sorts of politics. And some countries that might seem to us very authoritarian in terms of the way their government works, if you go to a local community, everything's done very democratically. We're the other way around. We have these larger institutions which we think of as democratic, but almost no American has any real experience sort of sitting down with a group of 20, 30 people and coming to a democratic decision together. So what we're trying to do in Occupy is to start to build a democratic culture on which you can start to create larger institutions.
All right, so then the alternative of this democratic culture would be it shoots down the idea of electable candidates, of branded individuals and branded sort of wedge issue ideas that drive everything, and focus much more on substantive questions of economic justice.
And community solving problems for themselves. I think that's what people have in mind when they think of democracy. There should be some way we can all get together and not have anybody make decisions for us, but make decisions collectively. And we don't have the means to even think about how we would do that right now. That was what we said in Occupy Wall Street. We don't want people to solve our problems for us. The creativity, the ideas are all there. There's all over the world, there are people with lots and lots of ideas on how to fix things. If somehow that were opened up, most of the problems we have are resolvable.
In a sense, did U.S. cities begin doing this during the time of Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher, in the sense that the federal government was the focus and a lot of cities were left to themselves? Various results. Detroit didn't do so well, but some other cities did quite well.
Well, you also have to have the resources in order to be able to do that. There really hasn't been a tradition of direct democracy in America. There's New England town councils. There's a few exceptions. But really, we have to build this from scratch. And that is a lot of what the tradition of direct action is really about. You know, all those giant demonstrations at Seattle, people remember all the battles in the streets. But what we remember were all the meetings for 6 months we sat around trying to figure out how to plan this thing. And that was an exercise in democracy. We were trying to create new democratic forms.
But are candidates the metric of success here, or is it simply appearances on cable news shows?
We don't think elections are the way out. I mean, to be honest, elections throughout most of Western history were never considered democratic at all. You know, they were having elections in England in the 1200s. Nobody thought it had anything to do with democracy. If we need to select people for office, I say lottery is a lot better as an approach than elections would ever be.
David Graeber is the author of The Democracy Project, A History, A Crisis, A Movement. He's a professor of anthropology at the University of London. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.